Tell you what, I believe it'll go along with the text the Lord laid on our heart this morning, Psalm number 90, if you'd go there with me this morning, please. Psalm number 90, I guess you could say that's somewhat of a familiar psalm written there as a prayer of Moses concerning the children of Israel. I like several of the statements there in that psalm, that song that was just sung, and some of those come from the Psalms, which is the Jewish songbook, if you know a little bit about that. Several things there talking about how the Lord gives us forgiveness of sin. God knows everything, so it's kind of inaccurate to say God would forget something, but He can choose not to remember something. How about that? He's not of existence where He can forget things like me and you can. So He doesn't forget our sin necessarily. He chooses not to remember it anymore. He purposely does not hold it against us. He purposely forgives us of it. And I'll tell you, no matter how far west you travel, east and west stay the same distance. You can go from one side of the globe to the other side, and east is still just as far from the west, no matter if you're on the west side of it or the east side of it. No matter how you go, it's a circle, so they always stay the same distance apart. And so that's how far our sins have been removed from us. Praise God for that. What a wonderful message and song this morning. I appreciate that so much. Going to read a few verses out of the book of Psalms here, Psalm number 90 this morning. I want to look at the title, The Days of Our Lives. The Days of Our Lives. Is that a play on words or something, I guess? You believe it or not, when I was playing college baseball, I played college baseball for three years, I guess it was, in college. And some of the guys that lived in the dorm there at the college I was playing baseball, I didn't live in the dorm, but they would, every day after their last class, around lunchtime, or maybe they had early afternoon class before practice, they would rush back to the dorm room so they could all get together and watch The Days of Our Lives. I never did get in on that. Not one time have I ever seen an episode of that. But I believe you'll see it scripturally in the passage this morning as we look at the days of our lives. You've had a bad day before. You know, some folks talk about having a bad day. And I remember I had to apologize to somebody just a couple weeks ago for something I did. And he says, "Oh, don't worry about it. Everybody has a bad day." I said, "Yeah, that's true. It was a bad day, but I made it worse because of what I did." So we all have bad days from time to time. I heard about the pirate that had a bad day. You ever heard about the pirate that had to explain why he had a patch over his eye? Well, this man met a pirate, and the pirate started talking about his adventures on the sea. And this man noted that the pirate had a peg leg, a hook, and an eye patch. Maybe he had a blue beard also, it didn't say, but he had a peg leg, a hook, and an eye patch. So this other seaman, he asked, "So how did you end up with the peg leg?" Well, the pirate replies, "I had a bad day one day. We were in a storm at sea, and I was swept overboard in a school of sharks. Just as my men were pulling me out of the sea, a shark bit my leg off. It was a bad day." "Wow," said the seaman, "what about your hook?" He says, "Well, one day, it was a bad day. We were boarding an enemy ship, and we were battling other sailors with swords, and one of the enemies cut my hand off. It was a real bad day." "Incredible," remarked the other seaman. He goes, "Well, how'd you get the eye patch?" He says, "Well, one day a seagull dropping fell from the sky into my eye." He says, "You lost your eye to a seagull dropping?" The sailor asked incredulously. "Well," said the pirate, "it was my first day with the hook." So it's a bad day. Psalm number 90, let's look at what God says about days here in the passage this morning. And we'll just read the first two verses here, and then we'll go back and we'll look at some of the other verses as we take time this morning to try to expound the text. Psalm number 90, verse number 10, let's look there first. The Bible says, "The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away." Look at verse 12. "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Well, we're going to look for a few moments this morning at the days of our lives according to Psalm number 90. Father, we are thankful to be in your house today. We're thankful for how you've already spoken to our hearts, Lord, how you've warmed our hearts, how you've stirred us within. Father, we thank you for the good Holy Spirit of God that comes and ministers to us. And Lord, we're just so thankful to have the eternal Word of God before us this morning. And we know that every day that we spend time in this book, it's profitable, Father. So we pray for this time together, for the next few moments, to be profitable for us. Father, may you edify us and encourage us and enable us and equip us to go about the service and the life that you would have us to live for you. Father, most of all, if there's someone that's within our midst today, Lord, that you've brought here, Father, by divine appointment, Father, they're not sure that they're saved. They don't have a saving faith. They're not believing in what you provided for their salvation, that forgiveness of sins that was sung about just a moment ago. Father, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. Well, thank you for everything that's said and done that brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ today. We ask these things in his name. Amen. Well, this is a prayer of Moses, Psalm number 90. And I remember memorizing this in elementary school growing up. I'm not even real sure. Maybe it was fifth grade when I memorized Psalm number 90. I believe Brother Mashad could probably correct me on that. I believe in sixth grade we memorized most of Psalm 119. And we heard on Grandparents' Day this last Friday here at our day school, the kids got up and they quoted scripture and sang songs with the theme of faith and freedom and different things there. And it was a wonderful blessing. One class, I believe the third grade class, they quoted the whole chapter of Hebrews 11, quoted the whole thing, and it was a tremendous blessing also. And this is a psalm written, a prayer here by Moses concerning, I would say mostly concerning the children of Israel. I believe it has a scope of all humanity in view here, but I could examine it this morning, and I can find prophecy in this passage. I can find the second coming, the glorious return that the Roberts sisters were singing about a few moments ago, where God comes back in glory and every eye shall see him, not the secret coming, not the secret appearing of Christ coming at the rapture to call up his body, the church, to himself. That's the first part of the second coming. And I can find that in the passage this morning. I can find the millennial reign of Christ in the passage this morning, where God, when he does return, will set up his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, upon this earth for 1,000 years, and he will rule and reign according to Scripture. And I could find that in Psalm number 90 this morning also, but I don't want to look at that this morning. I kind of want to look at something that'll be a help to us in the day and age we live in. It talks about life. It talks about years. It talks about days. You know that God is the author of all those things I just spoke of. Do you know that there wouldn't be any time today? Time that maybe you'll be watching your watch as this message goes on and on and on this morning. There wouldn't be any time today unless God would have created it and instituted it way back when. Do you know that God is not bound by time like me and you are bound by time? Do you know the seconds of our life are clicking off even as I speak this morning? You realize it, but not with God. God's existence is not being counted down today. How about that? See, when God instituted time, he instituted it from a place of no time. Let me just try and explain it like this. We can't understand in our human minds, and I was talking with Brother Skip about this the other day, we can't understand in our human minds how God can have always been and always will be. Because we're bound by time, we know that something has to have a beginning and it has to have an end, don't we? We're very finite in our existence. But you understand that God, where he comes from, there was no time. So there doesn't have to be a beginning and an end where he comes from. Now, I'll move on before we blow a gasket or something up here and smoke starts to come out of our ears, or mine anyway. And I didn't hardly feed the hamster very much this morning, so the wheel's not turning real fast upstairs. But that's what we can understand, is God is not bound by the realm and the existence that we're bound by. He is immortal, invisible, he's above and higher. He's not bound by the things we're bound by. Okay, and just understand who God is, and we'll talk about that for a moment this morning. But I want to talk about, since he's the one that created time, he's the one that created life, and he's the one that created days, the days that we have, like this day, this first day of the week that we're meeting together and assembling together here in the house of God. He has something to say about how we should spend that time and that life in those days. And we would be wise. It would be wise of us and profitable to us if we knew what God says about it. And then we instituted that and applied that and tried to make ourselves obedient to what God says. So I'm going to talk to you a few minutes this morning about the days of our lives. Now, I have 3 points, but I have 3 introductory points also. Let's get to them right now. First of all, let's talk about the complexity of life. It can get pretty complicated, can't it? Psalm number 90, look at verse number 4. It says, "For 1,000 years in thy sight," and I'll talk about this in a moment, "are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night." The Jewish night in the Old Testament, some would say, had 3 watches to it. In the New Testament, in the time of Christ when he was here on earth, had 4 watches to it. Okay, you take 12 hours divided by 4, that's 3 hours. There's watches, there's a watch in the night, and I'm not going to explain all that right now beyond what I just said, but it's comparing to how quick 1,000 years can be. It can be like 3 hours to us in God's point of view. Okay, so it's pretty complex when we try and delve into that. And that song just a moment ago said, "Space and time have always marveled me." Okay, and that's what that was speaking of, about this relationship of God and our existence. But life can be complicated. Life is compared to, look at verse number 5. "Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass, which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth," verse 6, "and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth." So life here is compared, the complexity of it is compared to a flood. The uncertainty of it, like to sleep. The brevity of it, compared to like grass. Okay, and I'm going to talk about that for a second. Just think about a flood. I'm sure within an auditorium, a building with as many people in it as we have today, there's probably been some folks that have experienced a flood here before, a localized flood. I'm not talking about the one my dad experienced back in the days of Noah. I'm not talking about that. I'm just kidding. That was not a localized flood. That was a worldwide flood. Okay, I'm talking about a localized flood. And I'm real disappointed we didn't get that puppet show yet. I'm looking forward to that puppet show. He did draw a face on it the other day. Did you see that? Is there a face on it this morning? Okay, well, we'll work on that after lunch or something like that. But you've probably lived through a flood before. I've heard stories about that before, about a flood. Well, it's talking about how everything can be just carried away, how it can come on you suddenly. And then there's sudden consequences. Things can be carried away and there's devastation left in its path. It's talking about the uncertainty of the complexity of it, how it sweeps in there and it sweeps away. "Thou carriest them away as with a flood." Then it says, "They are as asleep." Now I know something, I haven't been in a flood before, but I've been asleep before. I've done that, do it often in fact, and did it last night in fact, and slept pretty good until this morning. And you know what? Sometimes that sleep, it seems like you just closed your eyes, and when you open them up, 8 hours can pass that quick sometimes. In fact, you don't just open them up. Some annoying sound makes you open them up, like an alarm clock or something like that. I've seen nights where, boy, the night just drug on, and I wake up and I'm seeing the clock every 10, 15 minutes and tracking that thing through the whole night. Then I've seen nights where, boy, it seems like I just laid down and pulled the covers up and that thing's going off and it's time to get up and do her again, you know? And we've all experienced that. There's uncertainty there. Things can happen in a hurry. You know, in the day and age we live in today, you could go to bed at night and sleep and wake up and the world be totally different the next day. That's how different things are today. That's the precarious situation we find ourselves in the existence we have as mankind today. That's how quick things have happened and can happen again. And we're facing that. There's some uncertainty there. Proverbs number 27, verse number 1 says it this way, familiar verse, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You don't know what the next day is going to be like. You don't know what's going to happen the next day. There's some uncertainty there. Then it talks about the brevity of life, talking about grass. There it says, "In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 24 says it like this, "For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." Isaiah 40, verse number 8, "The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall endure forever." So If you compare our life, our existence, you know that verse in James chapter 4, verse number 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's compared to a vapor, right? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It's kind of like having some morning fog. Where that fog might be hovering there, you might see it. You might see it when you're out in it, but all of a sudden that sun comes up here in Florida or something else, and boy, it just vanisheth away. It just kind of dissipates into the atmosphere. Well, if you look at the grand scope of things, especially from God's point of view, that would be what our life and our existence is like down here on this earth. And I think we need to understand and apply our hearts to wisdom when it comes to this perception and perspective that God has. Not our whole existence is not captured in these words, but our earthly existence is captured in these words, talking about the complexity, the uncertainty, and the brevity of life. But what is wonderful to know, according to the Scripture, is even though our earthly life can be so brief and so precarious, the Bible says the word of our God shall endure forever. Well, I'm glad even in this brief earthly existence that I have something that's not brief. I have something that's eternal. I have access to and hold in my hand yet today, and I'm speaking in the English language. For those of us who speak English, talking about this King James Bible that I have in my hand today, we're talking about something that's eternal. Something that will never, ever fade away. This will be around during the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. This will be around after that in the ages to come. That's what the Scripture, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So the word of our God shall endure forever. So since we have something eternal before us this morning, since God has decided to write down and keep and preserve those words that He spoke for us, then we ought to consult them when it comes to this existence we have. And that's what I want to do for the next couple moments this morning in talking to you about the days of our life according to the Word of God. I want to look at some more verses here in Psalm number 90. First of all, I want to look at the day of God. The day of God. I've already talked about God already. I already talked about how, in a sense, He doesn't have a day like we have a day. He doesn't have a fleeting existence like we have a fleeting earthly existence. No, verses 1 and 2 talk about the day of God. Look at it. Lord, verse 1 of Psalm number 90, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. And by the way, isn't that interesting? He says, our dwelling place. He doesn't even sound like maybe he's just talking about the children of Israel there. I'm sure there's an application. But he's talking about mankind. Anybody that's the son of Adam, God is our dwelling place. Now, some would say, well, what does that mean? Well, I think there's a great verse over in the book of Acts that describes what this means. Acts 17, verse 28. We refer to it often. It's that sermon on Mars Hill. Paul standing up and preaching to the men of Athens that day. And Acts 17, 28 says it this way, for in Him we live and move and have our being. The reason you be existing today, the reason you're a being today, is because you're living because of God. Your life has sprung forth from God. Even if you're not right with Him today, even if you haven't accepted Him and you won't eternally be with Him if you don't repent of that non-acceptance or that rejection of Christ, even if you're sitting here unsaved today, according to what the Scripture classifies someone as unsaved, your life has still sprung forth from God. Your being is still held in God. Before Him, He's the one all things consist in front of. He's the one that holds it all together. Oh, goodness, I think of too many things to say here, but scientists don't understand why these subatomic particles hold together. They can't explain it. I know why they hold together. Because God's Word holds them together. If one day God changes the command that springs forth from His mouth, then they won't hold together anymore. And then you wouldn't have no existence or anything anymore. It's all held in store by the Word of God. That's what the Scripture says. And I could talk more about that, but I'll try and move on. We're talking about the day of God. We're talking about the eternity of God. Verse 1 talks about He's been our dwelling place in all generations. Look at verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth. We might have some folks that would be considered mature or had been around a while, but you're not as old as the mountains. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Well, that speaks of the eternity of God, doesn't it? Oh my goodness, how long is God going to last? How long is the duration of the day of God? Well, it's described there from everlasting to everlasting. And that's all. That's all. From everlasting to everlasting. That's the best our English language or any language can describe this, is everlasting to everlasting. God's always been, God always will be. That's the best way to say it. That's how long the day of God is. But let's keep looking. Verse 4 again. For 1,000 years. Look at these three words. In thy sight. Not in my sight. Because boy, 1,000 years is a long time if you ask me. But in thy sight. Well, there, but it's yesterday. It's like remembering yesterday. I remember yesterday. Yesterday was Saturday. I remember what I did yesterday. I remember who I spent time with yesterday. I remember who I talked to on the phone yesterday. God says that's like 1,000 years for him. See the perspective there? The difference is in thy sight. So let's talk about not only the eternity of God, but the elevation of God. From where he comes from what he sees, from what he knows. Even us preachers are guilty of it sometimes. We get up here and we try to humanly rationale and explain away God. We try to put God's operation in human terms. You cannot do that. You're going to stumble and cause other people to stumble if you try and explain away God humanly speaking. You cannot do it. I cannot do it. He's not a human. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says it this way, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. I'm glad about that. If you're honest, you're glad about that today too. Okay. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, in thy sight is different than in my sight. And his sight is different than in your sight. And the way the world looks at things today is not the way that God looks at things. You got to understand, when you're dealing with the eternity of God, you also got to deal with the elevation of God. The day of God is beyond my explanation this morning, even though I feebly attempted to do so. And thankfully, we have the Word of God to help us with that understanding. But the day of God, according to the Word of God, is from everlasting to everlasting. We need to understand His eternity and His elevation. But there's more than the day of God that affects our earthly existence. There is also something called the day of sin. The day of sin. Look at verse number 3. Psalm 90 verse 3 says it this way, thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. There's destruction in our existence. Did you know that? Yeah. You can read the newspaper every day and you can find destruction of man. Right. You can hear the news headlines on TV every day or the radio and you can listen about the destruction of man. That ball started rolling. That destruction started coming as a consequence of something called sin. Three-letter word that has such big consequences and implications for us here in our earthly existence. Something called sin. Romans chapter 5, verse number 12 says it this way, wherefore, as by one man, talking about Adam, sin entered into the world, talking about the world of men, by the way. Okay? All right, because that's not where sin entered into God's creation. It wasn't by Adam in the Garden of Eden. It was by the anointed cherub that covereth, someone named Lucifer. Okay? All right? So you need to get that right. Get that verse in context. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, that's mankind, and death by sin. That's the result of Adam's sin, death. And so death passed upon all men, that's me and you and everybody else that you know, for that all have sinned. So that's where the destruction came from. Preacher, why did this happen? Sin. Why did that person, the young man that from Lake Hamilton just died over in Afghanistan, if you've heard about that. Why did that happen? Sin. Sin's the answer to that. People want to accept that answer, but that's the answer. Destruction of in this earthly realm, in our existence, that's the result of something called sin. did not originate with God, was not ordained by God. It's an alien. It's something that came into his creation that's going to be rid of his creation. It's going to be out of his creation in the ages to come. And that's when we're seeing God deal with it even today in his plan of the ages. Destruction is from sin. Man's sin. Man's sin, Adam's sin, brought death upon all those that come from Adam. Not just the ones that also sin. I used to think that. I used to preach that. Not just the ones that participate in the same sin Adam participated in, but it comes to even those that don't participate in it. There's been human beings born before they were ever able to willingly, knowingly sin of themselves, and they've felt the effects of the consequences of sin. They felt death. There's been infant babies that have died. They did not reject God in their human existence, yet they still suffered the effects of sin, the death penalty upon all men. There's animal creation out there, and they don't willingly sin. They don't have a knowledge like man has a knowledge, yet... I hope the timer is set on your oven this morning. I saw a poor little squirrel get ran over this morning. Right there in front of me. I didn't run it over. It passed in front of me. I couldn't get to it. I didn't run over it. And the car I was meeting in the road ran over that squirrel, and it died. Was it a sin for that squirrel to cross the road? Not necessarily, but yet it felt the effects of destruction on this earth. It's still laying there if you're interested for lunch or whatever. See, there was a day of sin introduced into our existence. Can I have that slide upstairs, please? Thank you very much. Give me that slide real quick. I'm going to give you a little short illustration, hopefully short, talking about the days of our years. I saw Lonnie Mattingly do this about four or so years ago. I did it right here at this church when I was pastoring in Georgia. I came down for a meeting. And you got it backwards, but anyway. We'll just pretend the E's an F and the F's an E, okay? All right? That's why you're supposed to check things ahead of time, right, Dad? Is what you taught me? Okay. All right. Look at verse number 10 again. It's the first verse we read today. The days of our years are 70 years. That's 70 years, right? 3 times 20 is 60, plus 10 is 70. And if by reason of strength they be 40 years, that's 4 times 20, that's 80. That's the gauge I put up here on the overhead this morning. Yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Most folks are going to have more health issues and problems with the body and the flesh in the last 10 years of their existence than they are in their first 10 years. That would be the general rule. Well, here's a general rule of a gas tank this morning. Like I said, if you started and you wanted to put our tank of life, so to speak, full of 80 gallons, well, that means you'd start at the F with 80, okay? All right? And as you, and you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to help me with this morning. As you spent a quarter of your life, okay, that first quarter of the tank of your life, you'd use up 20 years, 20 gallons. That would put you at 60. That'd be someone that turns 20 years old, they'd already used a quarter of their tank of life up, okay? If you wanted to make that a 70-gallon tank, by the way, if you wanted to do that, these guys and girls that'll be graduating high school here in a couple months, when you get to 17 and a half years, you've already used up the first quarter of your tank of life, okay? That's interesting to think about that. The only place this is right is when you get to the halfway point, okay? It's hard to mess that up. When you get to the halfway point, you've used 40, and you got 40 to go. Okay? Isn't that interesting? Now, it might be depressing in some ways, but yet I think it helps us see what the Scripture's talking about this morning. It's just a little visual tool to help us with that. You know, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, and actually verse 3 also, says to honor thy father and mother. Why should you honor your father and mother? Well, it's the first commandment given back in the Old Testament times that had a promise attached to it. Okay? Honor thy father and mother that thy days may be long upon the land. Hey, for you young folks this morning, if you want to have a full tank of years and maybe even see that thing extend out once you get to the E, a full tank of years, you need to honor those parents that God gave you. You need to honor those that are in authority over you in this existence here on earth. It'll actually extend your life out. Okay? Now, this is a general rule, not an exception, of course. I'm not talking about all the exceptions of someone cut off that was honoring God and honoring their parents at a young age. I'm talking about the general rule here. If you get to the three-quarter mark, you've used up 60 gallons of years, so to speak. You see that you're getting towards the end of that tank. You're starting to tap into the bottom resources of that tank of life. And as you get to the E, you've used up 80 gallons. You've used up 80 years of life. Okay? What's good is some vehicles, not all vehicles I've owned do this, but some vehicles that I've owned before, once you get to the E, you can go for a while. In fact, so long that it'll catch you off guard sometimes. Now, other vehicles I have, before I even get to the E, they start to shut off, and that's a problem also. But sometimes, you ever notice that? It's almost like you got another reserve tank there. It just keeps on going. It keeps on drawing that fuel out of the tank because there's more there than we thought was there, and sometimes that happens, and that's by reason of strength, I believe. If there should be a strong people here on this earth, it should be the ones that are living and believing God. It should be believers on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're living that life according to the faith that cometh from the words of God. And I believe maybe a general rule would be you'd see some of those folks having a life of strength and seeing God blessing them with a long life. And like, once again, I'm talking about the general rule and not the exception. Go ahead and take that up for me up there so folks will maybe listen to me for the next few moments here without looking at that. The Bible says in verse 10, it says, the days of our years. It's kind of like a tank. Kind of like a tank full of years. And as time continues to roll on, it uses up that tank. So the Bible says in verse 12, so because we understand this, teach us to number our days. Now, you know what? If I'd have made a tank just full of days this morning, there'd have been a whole lot more days in there than it would have been years, right? You could take 80 and multiply it times 365 and then also calculate in the leap years that we'll live in life, the years that actually last longer than the years that have more than 365 days in it. And you'd have had a whole bunch of days up there, but the gauge will move a lot quicker, okay? The bigger the tank and bigger the chart there. So the Bible says you should number your days. Why? Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So it'd be wise for me today, and it'd be wise for you today to number your days. Okay? This tank of life is not going to last forever. I'm talking about earthly life. It's not going to last forever. So it'd be wise in how we use up what God has given us. He's dispensed unto us life. We live and move and have our being in Him. Yet, it's an appointed time. Scripture talks about that, right? As it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So it's talking about the days of the day of sin, how it was introduced into our existence, and it has a consequence. It has a destructive consequence. You know what? You know Adam didn't have one of those tanks when he got into the Garden of Eden? Did you know that? God didn't say, okay, here's the chart for you. And the angels didn't mix up the numbers on his chart either, I don't think. But here's a chart for you, Adam. This is how long you got, starting now. He didn't do that. Adam didn't have a fleeting existence like we do when we came into this world. No, sin was introduced into the picture, and then the destruction and the consequence that came from sin. So we'd be wise to number our days. The Bible says in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So we need to take account of the life and the days and the existence that God has given us. Why? Because the day of sin affects our existence. But I'm so glad that not only is there a day of God, because we could talk about that and we could preach about that and we couldn't even understand everything about the day of God. There's a day of sin and we understand some of the effects of that upon our existence. We've dealt with that day in and day out in this life that we have. But I'm so glad that it doesn't end with a day of sin. The Scripture speaks of a day of salvation, doesn't it? Aren't you glad for the day of salvation? Look at verse 14 of Psalm number 90 this morning. Psalm number 90, verse 14, look at it. It says, "Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." Say, well, you know what? I'm already in that tank a pretty good ways this morning, preacher, so I can't do it early. No, I believe as early as you can from right now, you need to be introduced to the salvation that's in Christ Jesus. I don't care where you're at on that chart this morning, the earliest time possible, you need to put your faith and trust in what God has provided for you, that forgiveness of sins, that sins being buried in the depths of the sea, that salvation, that new life that we have by the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus. You need to know that existence today. You need to have an existence that transcends this mere earthly life. You need to spiritually be joined to God today. You need to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus today if you're unsaved. Today is the day of salvation. Satisfy us early, at the earliest moment possible, with thy mercy. We know that verse in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2. It says, "Behold," and get your attention, "behold, now is the accepted time." Behold, now is the day of salvation. The earliest time possible, you ought to be reconciled to God. If you're yet in your sin, you've rejected God at one point in your heart and life, you have what's in your heart, I don't know what might be there. It might be religion, it might be works, it might be something you've done in the past, it might be your church membership, it might be your baptism, it might be the good deeds that you've tried to apply to others, it might be who you are and who your family was before you. I don't know what's in your heart today. I don't know what your mindset is about Jesus Christ, but God says, turn from all that, repent of that, and turn to Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation. God the Father provided salvation and forgiveness of sins for all mankind. We have our dwelling and our being. We move in Him, and He will give us eternal life in Him through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. If that's not describing you this morning, what I just said, you're not in Christ Jesus. You haven't by faith accepted what God has provided for you in Christ Jesus, His death, His burial, His resurrection the third day. Then at the earliest moment possible, you ought to repent of whatever that is that's keeping you from a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you ought to turn to Jesus Christ wholly and solely with your heart, with your mind, with your mouth. Turn to Christ Jesus forever and ever. Confess Him as your Lord and Savior. You ought to do that at the earliest moment possible. You can do that today. Today, for us, is the day of salvation. God is willing to save you today. Salvation doesn't come around every now and then like it's on some type of roller coaster ride or merry-go-round where you can get on and you can only get on when it stops. No, it's available to you today. It's a whosoever salvation and it's a whensoever salvation. I believe that. Because today, this day of grace, what God's offering us, today is the day of salvation if you have faith in Jesus Christ. The earliest opportunity presented to you, you ought to take God upon His word. Amen. The word of our God shall last forever. Amen. It'll endure forever. There's no end to it. And this morning we're talking about what God has said in this book concerning you and your eternity. I hope it's tied to Jesus Christ. The other day, I guess it was just Wednesday of this last week, my wife wasn't feeling well. We had some sickness in my parents' home and even in my home. And we were hurrying back up here. And I left a little later than I normally did because I had several of the kids with me in the vehicle. And I don't always have them with me coming to church time because I get here earlier than they do sometimes. And they had the Bible club that night. And we have a little thing. We have four children, and you only have one front seat if the parents aren't in it. And so every kid has a week that they get to be sit up front if they're riding with one parent, okay? And that just cuts down the hassle and the arbitration and the weeping, welling, and gnashing of teeth that goes along with childhood. And so it happened to be the Curly Girls' week. It's my hope. She's 8 years old, and she's my third child, and it was her week. And they always say that when you go into it. It's my week, Dad. It's my week. you know, and so she got up front with me. And I'm hurrying them along, and I'm rushing them, and I'm a little shorter than I should be with them on those types of situations, a little impatient, and of course they're not thinking about all the things maybe I would be thinking about, and Hope's just talking, and she's just talking, and she's just telling about something that happened on the playground, and she's just talking about this and that, and I'm like, I'm half ignoring it, half saying, get to the point, honey, where's the punchline at, honey, you know, I'm talking to her that way, And so my attention's on other things, and I'm driving down the road, and then she kind of stops and pauses for a second. And she says something simply profound or profoundly simple, however you want to say that. She just says, "Dad, isn't each day better than the one before? Isn't every day better than the one that happened before it?" And I thought about that for a second. Boy, she arrested my attention. She just cleared my mind of everything, and I thought about that for a second. I said, "Hopi," and I reached over to hold her hand. I said, "I'm proud of you. That's the right way to look at things. Because of God, because we have Jesus, because we know what tomorrow holds in Christ Jesus, each day is better than the one before." That's true for everybody in this room today that's in Christ Jesus. But if you have not yet experienced the day of salvation, it's not true for you. Tomorrow can be a whole lot worse day than today is. Tomorrow can be a terrible day as compared to yesterday. If you don't know Christ, because a flood could come in, a sleep could come in, a withering of the grass and creation could come in, and it could happen so fast you won't have time to react. Do you know Jesus today? If not, I hope and pray that today will be your day of salvation. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes if you would, please.